The new year is as much a time to look forward as it is to look back. What are we going to do differently in 2024? Where do we leave money on the table in 2023? As you craft your strategy to make 2024 the best year yet, consider leveraging better tools to get a better outcome. Yelp Guest Manager pairs the largest consumer network in the country with reservation and waitlist software designed to ensure you're as busy as possible. From large parties to last-minute diners, capture 100% of the demand for your restaurant. To see the growth potential for your restaurant, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp for a free evaluation and start 2024 strong. Now here we go.
What I tell people then is to open your fingers, move them one, and reclasp your hands. Ew, it feels gross. As soon as you can let your hands go, it's gross. It feels like somebody else's hand. It's just gross. And then I ask, was that difficult? The answer is no. What was it? The answer is uncomfortable. And that's what change is. Implementing change, putting in systems, holding people accountable, that's uncomfortable. But once you do it over and over and over again, it becomes simple and easy. It's how you ride your bike. It's just you don't think about it.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back. And we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. Most restaurants don't make money. The ones that do typically make very little. This is our reality, and most of us have embraced it. But what about the group nobody talks about? The restaurants that are making a killing, quietly and consistently. They all seem to be following the same formula, and today we sit down with restaurant expert David Scott Peters to distill out the essential elements of that formula. Believe it or not, it has as much to do with people as it does process.
Just know that I grew up my family's restaurant and catering business back in Lynnwood, New Jersey, where I worked for the toughest manager I know, which is my mom. And if you ever worked for a parent, you know it sucks. And while I hated every minute of it, she really did me a favor because she gave me a work ethic like nobody else around me. I took that and eventually worked for an independent brew pub and cafe out of college, where I started as a bartender, moved my way into bar manager. Next thing you know, I was waiting for the third location and was pulled from 2 locations managing become the operations manager. It was a 2-week project, kind of blew up. And this is where I learned the importance of systems and cash flow, that cash is king and so on. So as I cut my teeth there, I went to work for a franchisor called Famous Sam's, a 30-unit restaurant sports bar chain, where as the director of operations, we were opening 8 stores, we're going gangbusters, guys about the company wanted to take it public. And in under a year, they damn near bankrupted it. And so I took off and taught at Scottsdale Culinary Institute, Management, Human Resources, Wines and Spirits, not a chef. Like, I have 0 knife skills. You do not want to see me cook. But I can tell you, Josh, I can run anyone's kitchen. With that said, while I was teaching, I was consulting. And some of the minority shareholders of Famous Sam's became the majority shareholders. I was consulting for them. They kept asking me to come back. And I kept saying, no, no, no. And it was about a month before my first child was born. I went, okay. And I walked into a company that should have been bankrupt. And I was told to turn the company around and sell it in 5 years to the chief operating officer. I missed that goal by 3 months. And when I cut my teeth, I said, you know, I know what it is to be an independent operator. I know what makes a chain successful. And I, early on in my career, thought it was my job to give the independent operator the same systems and tools that chains use without losing your independence. Love our guests, love our employees, but do what they do well, and that's make money. And the truth of the matter is, I started a company back in 2003 as a restaurant training coach company. I think I was the first. I was right behind Jim Lobb and restaurantowner.com, which was a completely different model. And as time went on, one of my members became a coach, became a partner, bought me out about 4 years ago after we had built a complete software package for the restaurant industry. And I've been back to my roots, coaching independent restaurants on a daily basis. And I can tell you, with 20 plus years under my belt, I've seen so much and I learn every day. And what my new change, if you will, as I wrote a book, as you and I talked about last interview we did, I talked about Restaurant Prosperity Formula, what successful restaurateurs do. My main lesson that I learned from the most successful operators I've ever worked with is it's more about you, the person, getting you a life. See, I say that restaurant prosperity is freedom for your restaurant, the financial freedom you deserve. See, if I get you time off, if you've got time to spend with your family, not feel like a prisoner in your business, then you've got managers in place and you're making money. But it starts with you. And that's the main focus. So what makes me different from other coaches? I'm not just about the money. I'm about getting you a life. The money will be there if we're successful with that.
And when you look at your niche relative to what you're best in the world at, so like I specialize in marketing, right? But it's really because I'm best in the world at messaging at scale. I know how to talk to me and I'm like everyone else on the planet. So I got really lucky in the way that I'm just incredibly average and I know what resonates with me. What would you say your niche is? And then how does that directly relate to what you're best in the world at?
My claim to fame, if you will, is I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I really am not. But I can deliver the most boring information, more entertaining, real world, exciting, and make a difference in your life than anybody else. That's my talent. It's like, whether it's on stage, whether it's on a one-on-one coaching call or anything in between, it's like I get this excited about this stuff every single day. I understand where all the numbers come from, but more the tools and how they filter together, and more importantly, how you interpret those to lead your business, becoming the leader your restaurant needs. And that's really what it comes down to, is I help you become the leader you need to be.
How do you nurture a growth mindset? Let's assume that they come with the fundamentals, right? That they are optimistic in nature, that they're creative, strategic thinkers. What about you, your teaching style, and your program? Bring out more of that in people.
So there's two parts of that answer. The first part of that answer is, I'm probably not going to let you in my group coaching program. I mean, from the beginning, I'm not going to bring a negative Nancy into a group of 20 plus restaurant owners who meet on a weekly basis who are trying to help each other. Like, you bring that energy and it's like, wah, 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 versus people come in with challenges. We have people in tears from time to time with what's going on in their lives and so on. But everybody wants to take their shirt off their back because that person's being willing to be vulnerable and open, and we're going to help each other. So the first part is, odds are that person's not squeaking into my system in the first place. But let's say they are, or they're just on the path to growth mindset. They're kind of there and they're not 100% there. It's really about gaining confidence. And that's knowledge. You can overcome any obstacle in your business with knowledge. If you don't have money, if you have knowledge of where to find money and how to get money, you get money. If you have high food costs, high labor costs, you got managers who don't know what the hell they're doing. If you learn how to control food costs, labor costs, get your manager to do their job, you can do anything you want. Like, knowledge is amazing, but the difference with knowledge is this. A librarian, every librarian in the United States, around the world, should be billionaires, not millionaires, billionaires. They have access to all the knowledge. What the true sauce is, where I help you gain that confidence, is I get you to take action. My dad had a phrase that said, ideas are cheap. It's the people who put them into action that are priceless. And if without action, nothing freaking happens. Nothing changes. Nothing. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. It's going to be uncomfortable. But by God, I will get you to take action. And as you have those little successes and your confidence goes up, your mindset comes along with it because you see what's possible and you're the one who actually made the change.
Has your perspective evolved over the years? Has it changed? Has your coaching style changed? Because I've only known you for a couple of years and you've been this big, bold man ever since the day I met you. But what were you like 20 years ago and how has your style evolved?
So I think I'm the same person. I truly am. I'm pretty damn consistent. If you go back and find old videos of me giving speeches and so on, I'm genuinely this person. I'm loud. I am excited. I am, hey, it's kind of black and white. Don't give me excuses. Let's move forward, but I'll help you get there. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned, quite honestly, is I've gotten better at the skill of listening and learning from my members. in the beginning, I would tell people, so we're going back in 2003, I was coming as a franchisor, just selling the company. I'm like, I'm going to tell you what you need. Well, it took me several years to say, I need to listen to what you want. I need to listen to what you need. And everything changed that way. Now, that happened many, many years ago. But the fact of the matter is, I became somebody who said, this is what you need to, what do you need? Let me develop that for you. Really listening to my customer, my client, my members to say, this is what you need. I'm going to take care of you. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. That's kind of where the book came from, is learning from the most successful restaurant owners I worked with. What was it that they had in common and what was the secret sauce? And it was really listening to them.
You know, coaching is, it's a very interesting dynamic, because when I started as a young coach, and I mean, I've only been doing it 3 years now, but when I started, it was all about new for me. I was trying to present new ideas in a new way. And I thought that new was so exciting. But new doesn't always get it done, and new doesn't always work, but true does. And one coach to another, like when we talk, so much of what I say and so much of what I hear from you is just restating the truth over and over and over again until someone is compelled to act.
Yeah, I've got a member mentor, Avery Ward, who's just lights out, just a fantastic operator, made huge change in his business from being a prisoner in his family pizza place where he was in the ovens every Friday, Saturday night because nobody else could do it, to taking his restaurant, moving it to a brand new location, tripling his sales, and showing up for 2 hours a week in the restaurant itself. He's always working on the business strategically, like he's just lights out. And in the beginning, he used to say to Mary on my team, why does David say the same things over and over again? Now he spits out the same shit I say over and over again, because the truth of the matter is, it's tried and true. I tell people I've got one LP, long play, right? A record. That's all I got. And it works. Like, there's sometimes new things, but for the most part, cost of goods sold is a math equation. Taking inventory is a math equation. Labor costs is a math equation. Budgets are a math equation. Like, there's nothing new in the business. It's just presenting it in a way that you can consume it and put it in place, actually take action, and you gain benefit. So yeah, it's the same stuff over and over again. There's really nothing new. In fact, I would tell you, you could buy my book. Well, buy my book for $15 and learn the core systems to change your life. You could come to my live seminar. 2 days in Vegas. Oh, you're going to spend a little more money, but you're going to get the same systems that are in the book. You could join my group coaching program. You know what you're going to get? The same damn systems in the book. It's just how you would learn, what kind of handholding you want, and what kind of accountability, help with accountability. Because entrepreneurs, you know, I've got coaches every single year. I know you do. Like, who holds us accountable? And that's why I believe so heartily, strongly, that I should say that coaching is so important for any business owner. Forget about restaurant, forget about marketing, forget about ops, coaching. Having somebody who's already done it, who's already stepped on the landmines, been successful and says, avoid that. Here's the map to go around the landmines. Let's buy speed. Man, sometimes that is more valuable than anything. Plus the kick in the pants going, why didn't you get that done? Let's go. Let's get moving. And all of a sudden, again, take action, get results.
Well, we all pay. Like I tell everyone I work with, like, you're always going to pay. You're either going to pay with time or you're going to pay with money.
Or both.
Right. And typically when you pay with time, you pay with both.
That's right.
Which is a terrible place to be. And I think that the hurdle for so many people when it comes to executing at the level that they know they can, when it comes to reading your book and then executing on it without you, is overwhelm. I would say that is the plague within our industry. When everything is urgent and everything is important, how on earth do you prioritize when you find yourself hyperventilating in the employee restroom in the middle of dinner service?
Yeah.
So how do you prevent overwhelm? How do you manage it?
So what I've learned is you stop fire hosing. So for instance, you come to my 2-day seminar, I'm going to give you a fire hose of data. I will guarantee you by the time you're done, you're going to be so excited about taking inventory and recipe costs and cards and controlling labor and all these things, but you're going to feel like an elephant is sitting on your chest. You're going to be like, oh, where the hell do I start? And that's why in my group coaching program, I've worked things down to just a week. You get this one thing this week. That's it. You don't get everything. Oh, but can't I see week 24? No, you can see week one. When you're done with week one and you do the homework, we're going to go to week two, week three, week four. So you bring it into the thought process, or the phrase is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So instead of saying, man, look at the elephant, you can only see this bite. You can only see this bite. You can only see this bite. And by doing so, not only do you not get overwhelmed, the second piece is in my coaching program, in my seminar, in my book, there's one very important person I talk about, and that is this. You've got to have an implementer, somebody who gets shit done. Because you, the restaurant operator, are not meant to do the systems. You're meant to learn them. You're meant to coach your team. But an implementer will make sure they learn with you. An implementer will put it in place. An implementer will make sure it's being used on a daily basis with you overseeing them. An implementer will train the other managers. The implementer, with your help, will hold them accountable. And all of a sudden, it frees you up to work on budgets, marketing, leading the team, developing your managers, holding them accountable, moving the business forward, becoming the leader your restaurant needs. And that's where we've got to make that change. And it comes down to avoid the overwhelm, little bites, bites, bites.
Let's talk about that implementer role, because I think it's super valuable. I also think it's the objections to it are very reasonable when you don't know what's on the other side of it, right? So the first objection would be, I don't think I can afford that. And what would you say to that?
So for starters, let's talk about who an implementer is, because it's not always more money. It could be, but it's not always. An implementer is somebody who can, well, believes in you, believes in your business and your vision. They're a team player. They want to learn. They want to do more. They're good at finishing projects. They're linear. They can start and finish. Where restaurant owners, we can go bing, 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 right? ADHD off the charts. Like, oh, next thing, shiny. Oh, squirrel, shiny. And we move and we never finish. But they can start and finish. They can train others. And more importantly, they can hold others accountable with your help. So that's a very special person. That's not always one of your managers. It should be, but it's not. And so it can just be a key employee. I could be a $500,000 pizza place. I don't have the money for a management team, but I've got somebody who's just a young person who's really showing that they care and they want to learn. And that can be my implementer. I could be a $2 million restaurant. And by God, I hope for certain that is my general manager who is going to learn the systems, implement the systems, train the other managers, help hold them accountable, lead their team. And the fact of the matter is, it may cost you more money if you're that small pizzeria sandwich shop that's not doing a lot of revenue because I need to reward them. But if it's my GM, it's just a part of the job. It is now elevating my expectations versus just run the place, just babysit the idiots. Instead, I'm going to teach you my system, my process, my way. And we're going to ensure that gets done. And that's how we run the business.
Well, and I think the other big concern is, well, you know, if it does cost me more money, that's more money I could be giving myself. And the truth is I'm going to do these things anyway, right? Because if I'm not doing these things, then what am I doing, David?
So kind of here's the deal. Yeah, that's really a two-parter. The first part is, and I always teach people, what's the Albert Einstein's definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. Well, I add to it, how's it working for you? Oh, well, you know, why would I pay somebody else? You know, that's my money. Because you're leaving thousands upon thousands of dollars on the table by not doing this stuff, by not finding or making the time, the priority to do so, because you're not built for it, to be honest with you. Again, marketing, leading the team, working on budgets, that's what you're supposed to be doing. So by putting that person in place and you implement the systems, you're going to start to see the changes to your food cost, the changes to your labor cost, the reduction in dumbass phone calls to almost none because somebody else is making sure we've empowered the managers to make decisions because we've taught them our system, our process, our way. By God, you can't help but make more money by spending more with the right person, but only if. And this is where people get all pissed off. They're like, oh, I've tried having managers. I've tried to have somebody help. I've tried. Oh, boo-hoo, you tried. You tried the wrong way. You didn't teach them your system, your process, your way. You said, fix it. Well, if you just give up the reins, you're going to lose money. But if you teach people your system, your process, your way, you hold them accountable to that, you can't but help get change to your bottom line. And that's the exciting part. Let's put it financially. A typical restaurant, the old expert number was 65% prime cost. Prime cost is total cost of goods sold plus total labor costs, including taxes, benefits, insurance. The old target was 65%, and it would be 60 for a quick serve restaurant. That was kind of the numbers. Well, go back to the Great Recession. I would tell you that ever since then, the new number is 55%. If you do $850,000 or more a year in sales, 55, that's 10 points different. So put it in perspective. Let's say you're a $1 million restaurant and you're running a 65% prime cost. patting yourself on the back. And I say it's 55. And we pay somebody to help us with this process. We put a full management team in place. We go, having a heart attack. But all of a sudden, we stop throwing money at employees. Like sometimes we cover the fact that we don't have management by adding two extra cooks and three extra servers. And the money's there. All of a sudden, we become efficient. We manage the people. We start to look at it as a business. And we start lowering those. Even though we paid more for the managers, we actually get ourselves to a point where we lower our costs. And so, for instance, it is not unusual to go from 65 to 55. At a $1 million business, that's $100,000 on the same sales you're doing today. The truth of the matter is, most people operate at about a 78% prime cost. How do I know? I've been doing this for 20 plus years, had a software company. I've seen more numbers than anybody else. And I can tell you this, that if you don't take inventories on a weekly basis, if you don't track your labor on a daily basis, if you do not have a budget and targets, right, the right KPIs to shoot for, and the systems to control it, I can almost guarantee you're going to be 75, 78% prime cost, which means there's nothing but opportunity there. And by the way, that $1 million business that makes $100,000 more by saving the 10 points, that's on the same sales they're doing now. See, that's where the experts like you get to increase sales. But here's the magic. If I can get your break-even point lowered by 10 points, that means you're making 10 cents on every dollar past break-even from the moment you say go. So instead of a 5% profit margin, you're making 30% on every dollar. Now I want you, I'm like, Josh, get my sales higher because I've become more efficient versus trying to outpace my expenses.
As an aside, and as you're talking about making all of these changes, something that comes to mind that was a real aha moment for me when it comes to the recipe for what creates like a great coach-student-client relationship, a huge part of that is permission, which I didn't really expect to be the case. But to be able to turn to someone and say, it's okay that you raise your prices. That's fine. It's okay that you let go of that manager. They're never going to be who you need them to be in that role. It's okay to close one day a week. You're not making any money on that day.
Yep.
That a huge part of what we do is let them know that it's okay to see what they see and to act on that information.
A part of that is we live in our four walls as operators, as any business person, but literally and figuratively in a restaurant, four walls. This is what we know. We show up 7 days a week. We work our 80 hours a week, typical old school restaurant owner, and we know nothing but our four walls. And sometimes when you branch out and you start to gain knowledge, whether it's webinars, seminars, YouTube channel, podcasts, coaches, whatever it may be, you're out searching, reading magazine articles, just starting to expand your mind, books, all of a sudden you start to see new ideas and you see what's possible. And when you start to see what's possible, then the coaching relationship, what changes there is not only what's possible, learning what you need to know, opening your eyes to what's possible, but often owners don't know that it is possible. We're not married to what I call their mental underwear. We're not all in the Sally's pregnant and Jose wants overtime and, you know, all these challenges. Instead, we look at things black and white. There's no emotional attachment. We go, have you ever thought of, doesn't it make sense? And often makes an owner sit back and go, shit, yeah. And that's kind of the role sometimes is what's possible.
Let's talk about top line revenue because I think everyone that walks up, you know, if I could wave a magic wand and give you one thing, what would it be? It's more sales. I mean, as a restaurateur myself in the early days, like I knew that I was like $100,000 or $250,000 away from making real money. But like once I hit that number, my costs had gone up or the environment had changed. And so I never made the money I made until I began to look at both sides of the equation because top line sales, more than anything, is vanity. And so obviously, everyone listening wants more money, but they think they're going to get it through more customers. What are the other aspects of their business they should be focused on?
So I'm going to give it to you the way when I started giving presentations, you know, I love being on stage. You can tell I'm very quiet, shy, and introverted. The very first presentation I gave to a room of 500 restaurant owners was that there's top line mentality with a bottom line efficiency. So do know what comes first, marketing or operations? Yes, they're not separate, just so we're clear, right? You've got to drive sales and you got to make every penny of profit you can on every dollar it comes in. Well, this is where a typical restaurant, if you talk to the NRA and look at their stats, makes a nickel to 8 cents on every dollar it comes in. That's an average restaurant. Ohio State University has done a study after, I can't remember the dude that had a TV show, he was a chef in New York, when he threw out the old adage of 8 out of 10 restaurants fail in their first year of business. Well, Ohio State University did a study and found that 61% of all restaurants fail in their first 3 years of business, whether it's a franchise or whether it is an independent. So all of a sudden you take all these things and you say, why the hell would you want to be in the restaurant business? And to your point is, how do we make more money? Well, let's just say this. There is a point in time where you must have higher sales. Like I've had people where I've turned them away in the coaching program because I'm like, your sales are too low. I cannot save you enough money to make it worth your time. You need to focus on revenue. So if you're doing under $850,000 a year in sales, you have a revenue problem above and beyond anything else. Yes, we want to look at our financials, but you got to get sales up. Because the magic, at $500,000, you bought a job. At $350,000, you have a very busy hobby. Not going to make you money. There's just not enough revenue coming in to drop to the bottom line. So let's just assume now we get to 850 or higher. Now it is putting those efficiencies in place and changing how you look at your business. And here's the one tool. Most restaurants get a profit and loss statement. They have no idea what it is. They look at it, they flip to the back page, they see what they made or lost, go, oh shit, throw it on the table. That's it, done. That doesn't do anything for you. What we need is a budget. And when I teach my members how to operate on a budget, we create that budget for you. We take your last 12 months and we say, what if the next 12 months operated the same way? Same sales mix, same cost of goods sold, same labor costs, same operating expenses. This is how much you're going to make or lose. And we pick it up like it's a dead rat, just ew. And we say, now we create your proactive plan for success. What systems are I going to put in place to change that bottom line? How do I get my prime cost and my food cost, my labor cost by position, those KPIs, key performance indicators, to where I need to run my restaurant based on my location, my price point, my style of service, the quality of product I put out, my customer, my demographic, my rent, my utilities, my core value, because it's going to be different for everybody. We hone in on what systems we put in place, how quickly, what the changes are. So for instance, let's say you're operating at a 38% food cost. Well, I'm going to tell you right out the gate, we're going to teach you the key item tracker to prevent theft, the waste tracker to stop dumbass mistakes, two clipboard systems, plus a system I have called the Restaurant Checkbook Guardian, where based on your forecast, your sales, your cost of goods sold target and sales mix, and your purchases, I'm going to tell you how much money you can spend on your next order to be within budget. And by adding those three systems, two clipboard systems and that spreadsheet, I'll guarantee you a 2 to 3 point drop in your food costs. Well, all of a sudden we get right in. Well, month one, you don't hold people accountable to that. You got to teach them. Month two, I can hold them accountable, move the needle. But I say, wait a second, your prime cost is still off. I need a better food cost. The only way to do that is to re-engineer the menu, but you don't have recipe costing card. So now we get you into food costing software. We know it's going to take you 40, 60, 100, 200 man hours to get your cards done, depending on your business. And all of a sudden we go, okay, month four, we have our cards done. Month five, we're going to do a menu engineering call, something I call a menu profitability monitor. And we change your menu. We raise prices, reduce costs. We get rid of items. We add new items. We change the mix. We decide what to use for a picture from a casual concept or box. And we change what our customers are actually going to purchase. And then we go from that 38, we drop 2-3 points, go to 35, and then we put out a new menu. And maybe based on your prime cost, we go to a 26% food cost without changing who you are. And when you see that change, you know what your plan is, you know what systems you're going to put in place, you know the training you have to provide, the accountability you need to add. And all of a sudden you see the major change it's going to have in your business. And for most restaurants, when you do 80, 85, 90% of sales are food, this can be that one line item can change your life. And that's the process. Without a budget, how the hell do you know what you should be doing? And in fact, if you watch my YouTube videos or so on and listen to my podcast, I can tell you, I often say when we talk about coaches in the operational space, if a coach or consultant doesn't have a budget done for you, then they have no freaking idea where you should be. Because you get a choice as an operator. Number one, where are you operating and what changes do you need to make? But also, what changes are you willing to make based on your core values? All falls into it. We just don't use national averages, statistics. We use your numbers.
The hurdle, I would think, is engagement. right? Everything that you talked about is incredibly important, but not particularly fun. And so I would assume that the hurdle is keeping clients engaged month after month. So I would assume that you have strategies in place to do that as well.
100%. What it really comes down to is putting your operational systems in place and putting accountability into them that they're used every single day. Because all of a sudden, these systems become how you breathe. This is how we run our restaurant, period. It's what we do. And it starts with our MITs, managers in training, hourly supervisors, don't give a rat's ass what you call them. The people come in and, you know, key turn and learn. And then it moves up to the assistant managers and then the, you know, the AGMs and the, then the GMs and so on and so forth. There's a system, a process away. And what happens is as time moves on, and maybe I lose a GM, well, I've got two assistant managers that one of them's ready to go. And then I move up an MIT and I add a new one. And all of a sudden we create our system, our process, our way. And then it becomes just how you breathe. It's how your restaurant is run. In the beginning, I can tell you this, Josh, for a lot of people, it's hard. I always joke around, I suck, I create work. Like if you're not taking inventories, if you're not doing recipe cost cards, if you're not controlling labor, if you don't have a training system in place, if you're not holding managers accountable, like if you go down the list of all these things, dollars per labor or work, it's like, holy crap. But all of a sudden, when you put those things in place, in the beginning, it's hard because it's new. I often tell people, like if they're listening to us or watching us, the recording, this, what I want them to do is grab their hands and clasp them together. Like from a baby, we're sucking your thumb, like, wham, boom, like this, for your whole life. I'm 57 years old, man, I've been doing this for 57 years, nice. What I tell people then is to open your fingers, move them one, and reclasp your hands. Ew, it feels gross. As soon as you can let your hands go, it's gross. It feels like somebody else's hand, it's just gross. And then I ask, was that difficult? The answer is no. What was it? The answer is uncomfortable. And that's what change is. Implementing change, putting in systems, holding people accountable. That's uncomfortable. But once you do it over and over and over again, it becomes simple and easy. It's how you ride your bike. It's just you don't think about it.
There are a lot of folks listening that I'm sure are going to be inspired by everything you've shared. And they'll pick up your book and they'll get started. But I'm sure that for others, it might create some sense of hopelessness. Right, that they're so far from exactly where they want to be. I'd like to end the conversation with words of encouragement for the latter group. For those that feel like they're so far away from where they want to be and from where they intended to be when they initially opened the restaurant, what would you like to tell them?
The biggest thing that I see in restaurants is that whenever we get frustrated where we're not, we put all this weight on ourselves, but I didn't get to that goal. I got news for you. I don't hit all my goals. I can tell you, I've got to change my plan all the time, especially as an entrepreneur. But with restaurant owners, they go, oh, I didn't get my sales the way they are. I thought I'd open up $1 million restaurant. I've got a $750,000 restaurant. Oh, I thought I'd have a food cost of 34%. I'm running a 38%. And you just see all these things you didn't do. And you start to feel really bad. And we get into the fixed mindset. We get depressed. We do all these things. And the truth of the matter is, what we don't always do is look backwards and assess what we did do. You opened that business. It was an idea. You found the funding. You designed it. You bought the equipment. You trained the people. You picked the uniforms. You picked the dishes. You created this incredible opportunity for people to have a great memory. You did that. You employ anywhere from 10, 15, 20, 40, 60, 100 employees. They feed their families because you gave them an opportunity. You fulfill a need in the community. People are walking in your door because they want what you have. So instead of focusing on what you didn't do, you need to take an inventory of what you did do and then make a decision that you want to change and become better. So I'm going to tell you, it kind of wraps up with my restaurant prosperity formula, which is freedom for your restaurant and the financial freedom you deserve. That formula, it starts with leaders. You've got to become the leader your restaurant needs. You've got to have systems in place for everything that you do. The most successful people I ever worked with understand they don't know what they don't know. So you've got to learn. You've got to constantly looking up information, whether it's seminars, workshops, coaching programs, books, does not matter. Gather data. And when you learn it and you have that aha moment, you got to realize you got to train your management team. It doesn't matter if you know, if they don't know. You've got to be willing to hold those people accountable. Without accountability, doesn't matter if you have systems, doesn't matter the training. But ultimately, the magic sauce in all of it is You've got to be willing to take action. Action is what makes things work. So pick the one little thing that you want to get done, not the overwhelming thing that makes you feel bad about yourself, that like, I got to lose 20 pounds and well, I always try and I don't. How about lose the 1 pound? Like pick the little thing and get a victory. And when you feel good about it, add the next thing, add the next thing. There's a great book out there, Atomic Habits. It's the most amazing thing. Like you make this one little change and do it over and over and over again. It can impact your life in ways you've never known. When you can start to do something positive for yourself, make that little change. Next thing you know, you're 20 pounds down because you started with the 1 pound. You learned how to lose another pound. You lose that same pound. You learned became 3 pounds, 4 pounds, 5, 20. It's the same in the restaurant business. It's the same in anything you do in your life. Assess what you've done well, feel good about you, and give yourself the ability to learn and change. Because the next thing you know, you implement small changes, your life is different.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins. And the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie. And Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's David Scott Peters. To learn more about David and his programs, visit davidscottpeters.com. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Kopel. You've been listening to Full Comp.